Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. So I feel like we haven't met in such a long time. We only missed 1 week for the Sha'arei dinner, but I don't know, if without the kriyas, it just feels like a very long time, even though it wasn't as long as I feel like. So welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Sha'arei. Hope we're having a healthy and uplifting beginning of summer. We are learning, of course, the Zeichar and the Yilui Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. Miriam Neshama, have a continuous Ali in the Zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And we continue to thank the Fron family very, very much for their commitment to this Harbata Satorah and Shir LeZeichar Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So last time we went over, and I still didn't get to finish the piece that I wanted from Kol Ram. So I'm not going to finish the whole piece with you, because when I was re-preparing for the shir, it's longer than I feel is necessary for the purpose of tonight's shir. But I do just want to finish a couple of more paragraphs that I didn't have time for that are really very, very important for understanding the peace prayer of Moshe. So if you remember what we were learning, seems like long ago, but it was just 2 weeks. So if you remember what we were learning, we're talking about this idea of making your own cheshbonos against the cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that was the of the Meraglim, Rav Moshe says, and they pitched their own cheshbonos, that's a word that he uses repeatedly, they made their own calculations, their own cheshbon, their own timeline. We think we should stay longer in the desert, we'll learn more Torah, we'll strengthen ourselves, then we'll go into Eretz Yisrael. And the greatest threat to Amunah is really making your own cheshbonos, because clearly they forgot that God has his cheshbonos, God has his calculations, his plan, and it's not up to us to make plans that contradict what God wants. And this does not only apply to Chet HaMeraglim, it applies to every situation in our lives. Clearly the Ribono Shel Olam has plans for us, and sometimes those plans seem to be not what we want, not what we thought of, not what we hope for, and yet it is a lack of Amunah to try and outsmart the Ribono Shel Olam. So I just want to finish two paragraphs of Rav Moshe that we didn't get to last time before we move on to new material. So I'm going to screen share. 1 second. I'm just going to read it here. Can you see for the people? Yeah. There's another one? No, I'm not being facetious or sarcastic. I'm asking a serious question. Oh. Okay. Do you see it says Kol Ram? Okay, so what we learned last time is this piece from Kol Ram from Parsha Shchach again. So I'm just summing it up here. And what Rav Moshe says is Shahameraglim Bal Be'etzah L'Shem Shemaim. They had an Eitzah L'Shem Shemaim. They thought they were doing the right thing. Shechashvu She'im Yikansu Miyad L'Eretz Yisrael. They believed that if they enter immediately into Eretz Yisrael, Yavol L'Dei Pro'anus, there'll be a lot of trials and tribulations and afflictions. This paragraph is a review from last time. Sheyichatu Sham They'll sin. It's going to be very hard for them in the land of Canaan. They're going to sin. Kadosh Baruch Hu ini mevater al chatayim be'Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not willing to overlook sins in Eretz Yisrael. V'yachasu sham churban, they'll be immediately churban. V'yovdu min haaretz, they'll be kicked out of the land. V'im kein yoser tov, they thought it's yoser tov. Now Hashem said it's yoser tov to go into the Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, they thought, you know what, it's yoser tov sheyishahu odz man b'midbar. You know what, it's better if we delay and we stay more time in the desert. L'chazek atzmam od b'lim mutar. We'll go to yeshiva, we'll learn more classes, we'll attend another shir from Moshe Rabbeinu. We think it's better that we should stay in chutz la'aretz for longer. We'll be stronger. B'lim mutar v'mitzvos. We'll learn more Torah, we'll do more mitzvos. V'lo l'ikanes adayin la'aretz. We're not saying we reject Eretz Yisrael, just right now, we don't think it's the right time to go in. What was the problem with that cheshbon? What did God say? God said, this is the time to go in. Or Rasha, Ni Hashem, God said, no, you're supposed to go in now. They say, we think we shouldn't go in now. Kideshi Malayim Batorva Mitzvos, Umuchanim Yoser, the Kanes Arts, they think we'll be more ready, we'll be full of Torah Mitzvos, we'll be stronger from the Limud in the Midbar, then we'll enter it to Shal. Ukadesha Sha'ar Ham Namilo, you're to the Kanes Arts, La Kain Amul Am Divrei Kfira. They told the people Divrei Kfira. Someone translated for me last time. What did they write? Kfira. I took the translation of Kfira. Someone wrote it last time on the Zoom. Kadesh lo yirtzu the kanes la'aretz miyad. They told the nation Kfira. What did someone write last time?
Heresy.
What?
Heresy.
Heresy. Okay, very good. They told the nation's words of Kfira, so they should not want to enter immediately into Eretz apostasy. Okay? So they were intentional l'shem shemayim. But the intention l'shem shemayim, you can't make a cheshbon against what God wants and say, I know better than the Ribono Shel Olam. And that was the Eitzah Ra'ah, the bad advice that the spies returned with. What was the whole Chet, says Rav Moshe? It was founded upon Cheshbon, Miyusad, Yesod. The Yesod of it, the foundation was of it. What do I think is best? What are my calculations? What is my Chachma? V'loha eminu sheyesha kosh baruch hu cheshbonu shalom. And they did not believe, I'm translating the words, Lo ha'eminu sheyesh l'kosh baruch hu cheshbono shalom. This is an entire piece that speaks in such a visceral way to our amuna. We see so many things happening in the world today. In the world, you know, I don't follow the news anymore. I've mentioned that a number of times, not because I'm against the news. Number one, certain things in the news we shouldn't be reading because they're not for us, for our eyes, for our ears, for our thoughts and our mind. Second of all, because I just find spittlesman. I find even when I was going to Yeshiva World News, and I'm talking about kosher news, what happens is you just scroll past what you need to do. So for me, the primary reason I stopped reading was just because of spittlesman. This evening, I turned off my phone for 2 hours. I just mamish turned it off, not from 6 to 8 p.m. At supper time, not put it on vibrate, not put it on silent, not put it on, what do they call it? No notifications. I don't know exactly what it's called. Like, mamish turned it off. So for me, I found the news was just too much spittlesman more than anything else. But when I walked into the Nautilus today, because I give a lecture at the Nautilus every Wednesday, they always have CNN, okay? That's another thing we should be checking. But they always have CNN on the screen when I walk in. I didn't even know that there was a shooting on July 4th in Chicago. I did not know. 7 people, Rahman al-San, were killed. They were interviewing a number of survivors and children of those who were killed. When I came home, I said to my husband, there was a shooting on July 4th. He knew. And he told me in addition that 7 innocent people were murdered, 2 Jews were killed, and that the Chabad rabbi from the neighborhood said that the shooter was in his shul somehow, Pesach, I don't know, and he kicked him out or something. So sometimes it's very hard. We live in a world, and sometimes we start to make our own cheshbonos, our own calculations. God should do things like this, God should do things like that, I should do this, I should do that. And we might even think it's the Shem Shemayim, but if it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us, so we have to be careful not to lose our amuna. We could risk losing amuna when your yesod is what's my cheshbon. Mitzad shum yusad al cheshbon. When it's cheshbon atzma, what I think how the world should be run, how I should live, the choices I should make. We have to ask the Astar, we have to make the right choices. V'lo ha'aminu. And what happens if you put too much faith in your own cheshbonos, you plan out everything. You have an Excel spreadsheet. This is exactly how my life is going to work out. And I have all these calculations. And you forget that the Melech Malchei Malchim has his cheshbonos, and they're not always yours. We need to keep God's mitzvos. We have to stop worrying so much about our calculations. This whole piece is about amuna. They should have believed with amuna shalema, pure, simple faith about Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the kayim mitzvos of below shum she'ilos. Amma amin. B'nei ma'aminim, does not rely and worry about his own cheshbonos. He must have amuna in Hashem, complete amuna shalema, to keep the mitzvos without b'li shum she'ilos. And that was a problem with the Meraglim. They said, you know, it will be better for us in the desert. Let's spend some more time. We'll learn more. We just got the Torah a year ago. We're not so familiar with it. We'll spend some more time learning and steiging, and Moshe will teach us, and then we'll go in the Sa'ar Hashem Wanet. Now, that was a recap from last time. Okay?
Thank you.
Nancy says that a lack of amuna, thinking we cannot spark the Ribbono Shel Olam, that makes me cry. It's very powerful. It's a challenge because somewhere, I mean, we're not the Gedolei Ador, so I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just stating a fact. Somewhere along the way, at every point in every person's life, we think we have cheshbonos that make so much sense. And we're like, Ribbono Shel Olam, this makes so much sense, but that way doesn't make any sense. Why are you doing it that way, God? We think this way makes so much sense. It could apply to so many things in life. And Rav Moshe says we need to believe with amuna shlema that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos to keep his mitzvos, b'li shum she'ilos. Uba'emes inyan zeh, these are the next two paragraphs that I think are very important. I wanted to tell you. For whom is this shayach? We live in a day and age and in a time period, in a society, in a community, in a century, where we have so much access to Torah and to education. We are very fortunate. Ashreinu matov chalkenu manayim gorlein. It used to be that the masses were uneducated. I'm talking about the Jewish masses. They were uneducated. Shai Shachter told me, Hasidus once started because the masses were totally uneducated. They were illiterate. They couldn't read. They had no way to connect to Hashem. So through song and through feeling and through emotion, through the Hasidus, they were able to connect to God. Today's not like that. Hamon Am today is educated. You can have access to so much Shi'urim, so many Divrei Torah, and so much learning. But the threat is, says Rav Moshe, the greater a person is, the greater the risk, his emun is diminished by his own cheshbonos. A small person, he says, doesn't make his own cheshbonos because he knows he's too small to make cheshbonos. The greater, I'm going to read it in the Lashon HaKodesh in a minute from the Sefer. The greater a person is, the more intelligent, the more he knows. So now what do you think? I know so much about the world. So if I don't know anything, so God, you're right, you run the world, I don't know anything. But the more I know, the more it makes so much sense to me that you're doing it wrong. It should be done my way. Uba'emes inyan zel lasur min aderech betainos l'shem shamayim shal etos v'cheshbonos. And the truth is, this could turn someone from the path. Lasur min aderech. It will turn you away from the path, even if your tainos are l'shem shamayim. Because you have etos, you have your own advice. Cheshbonos, you have your own calculations. Shayach yoser bigadolim mibikatanim. Kemosha raim hacha. It is more shayach, this threat is more shayach when it comes to gedolim, great ones, mibikatanim, small ones. Now he's not talking about in size, literally. He's talking about, so I still remember, I don't remember anything else from it, but Rav Ephraim Goldberg, I believe, told this over, someone sent it to me, that Rav Herschel Schachter, at one point when he was a scholar in residence in Boca Raton Synagogue, more recently, so he was asked, Rav Ephraim Goldberg asked him, or somebody asked him, something about the Amuna. How would you compare yourself to your previous generation, your parents or grandparents? So he said, by far we know more than they do, but they had far more emuna than we do. This danger, says Rav Moshe, is shayach yoser bigadolim mibikatanim. We live in such a day and age where we know so much. I'm not saying that in a balgaivadik way, we just do. We have so much access to learning and to Torah, especially as Jewish women. They never had this education. I mean, Sarah Schneer was revolutionary, so that's only like 100 years ago. Go back 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago. They didn't have the knowledge that we had. Her idea was so radical that we should educate Jewish women. That was very recent. I'm talking about the last 100 years out of Jewish history. So today, many more people are gedolim. I'm not using the term like the gedolei dor chas v'sham. I'm saying in terms of our intelligence, in terms of our education, in terms of our Torah knowledge, we know much more than they ever knew. We do. We just know. The lay person today knows much more than they ever knew. Shaharei kitanim einim yodim lasos cheshbonos. Kitanim, as little knowledge and intellectual acumen that they might have, they don't know how to make cheshbonos l'shem shemayim. They pashut don't know because they don't have enough knowledge. Sharei ketanim einim yodim lasos cheshbonos. They don't know how to make cheshbonos. Va'osim stam l'shem shemayim b'li cheshbon. So how do they act? Stam b'li cheshbon l'shem shemayim. What does it mean? What does it mean?
They have more
emunah.
They were just...
That what?
They had emunah peshuta.
I can't hear.
They had emunah peshuta.
In your own language. Right. So what does it mean? Va'osim stam l'shem shemayim b'li cheshbon. They just do what they're told to do for the sake of heaven. They're not making calculations against God. That's what Rav Herschel Schachter was saying. We may know more, much more than they know. But that generation, those generations had much more emuna. But it's an inverse relationship. The danger with knowing more is that you think you're smarter and smarter than Chalila v'chas, the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a risk. This is what Rav Moshe is saying in Koran. Because what happens? I think I know the way you should be doing this, Hashem. Why is that person still waiting for a shidduch, you could say? Why is that couple still waiting for children? You know, I was at a simcha last week. I was at a wedding, and I was sitting at the table with someone who I never met before. It was the first time I had met her acquaintance, but someone in her family knows someone in my family. I don't want to give any identifying information at all. And she said to me, have you made a chasana yet? Now, I didn't want to give anyone a musr shmuz at the table. That's a grossly inappropriate question. She knows nothing about me. She has no idea if I have children. You don't know if I'm married just because I'm wearing a sheitel. And you have no idea if I have children. Sometimes the smarter we are, the more we plan and plot how life should be. It was an extremely inappropriate question. I was talking to my mother on FaceTime, and I said, Ma, you taught me so well, because my mother always had a rule, no questions or comments. don't, unless you know something about a person, I'm not talking about if you know for a fact something about a person, we don't ask questions. The problem when we become smarter and smarter and smarter is we think we know better than God. So you might look at someone who's waiting for children, or waiting for Shidduch, or waiting for Parnassah, or waiting for Nachas Mibanim, or waiting for Mashiach, and why didn't you bring Mashiach at Hashem? Why are we waiting for so long? Why is that person waiting for so long for their Yeshua? I think this is how it should be done. You daven. We do mitzvos and Torah to try and effect change, but for me to tell God what's better, the Meraglim said, I think it's better for us to be in the desert. And then they went to Kfira. That leads to Kfira. I don't know better than God. And the irony of ironies is Shayach Yosher B'gadolim B'Ktanim, Kimosher Roim Hacha. You see here by the Meraglim, the greater a person is, the more they risk pitting their Chachma, so to speak, against that of God. Shaharei Ktanim Einam Yodim Masos Cheshbonos. A small person might not be so intellectually, scholarly enlightened, but they just do it stam, l'shem shemayim b'li chashva. Because this is what I have to do. That's what God said. If I don't question, I don't ask, I don't make an Excel spreadsheet of what I think my life should look like versus what God thinks my life should look like. There's a very big echo in here, which is why I'm trying to keep my voice down, even though I'm very excited. I'm not acting so much because there's an echo. I don't know if you hear.
Aval gudo. I have something wrong with my ear.
Do you hear the echo?
And I hear everything.
The acoustics aren't good.
I hear you two times.
Of course, I'm not saying we... Wait. At the same time, we can't afford to be uneducated. I'm not saying we should be uneducated. I'm not saying we should stop learning. Mecharetz is not going to stop learning and not going to stop teaching, and that is not the positive way. We don't live in those times or in that generation. We're not going back to the shtetl of 200 years ago where the women literally did not know anything except the halachos of shechita, because that's what they had to know. I'm not suggesting that we should stop, but you have to know that everything has a positive and everything has a negative. And there is a danger. I was just reading, it was in this past week's mishpacha. It was fascinating. Did anyone see the article about the Gura archives? It was incredible. So there was one, was it someone who went off the darach? I don't have the mishpacha in front of me. A famous scholar, thinker, a famous name. I don't want to say the name in case it's the wrong person that I'm saying, Moshe Shaber. I think I know who it is, who went off the derech. But they said in the beginning he was very, very smart. And he wrote a kuntras and an interpretation, a commentary to Torah that the gedolim of the time were very impressed with. After that, he went off the derech. Sometimes the danger of being too educated is, I think I'm more educated than God. I'm not saying we should stop learning Torah. Chalil v'chas, we cannot close down our shir groups, our batei medrash, or our navan. God forbid. On the other hand, you have to know that all that knowledge does not make you smarter than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aval gedolim osim cheshbonos v'choshim sheyodim mash osim. Gedolim, the greater person is, they make their cheshbonos, they make their calculations, v'choshim sheyodim mash osim. They think they know what they're doing. So, mamish, I'm reading it to you. U'matzinu sheharbi pa'amim milamedas ha-Torah sh'aron lo shina mimashon tzdava. We find many times in the Torah that it says, Vayas Arn Kasher Tziva Oso Moshe, Kasher Tziva Oso Hashem. Why does the Torah stress repeatedly in different times in Aaron's life and by different mitzvahs that Aaron did exactly what Hashem told him to do? I heard Rabbi Zevlov say, because one time it's in Baloscha, which of Moshe quotes. So Rabbi Zevlov says, what did you think? Aaron was going to not do what God told him to do? Why does the Torah make a point of saying, and Aaron did what Hashem told him to do? Did anyone think that Aaron was going to not do what God told him to? I'll give you an example. It's right here. Rabbi Moshe brings it up, and this is the one I heard Rabbi Zevlov speak about. By the menorah in Parshas Baloscha, when Aaron is commanded to light the menorah, listen to what it says. Vayas kein Aaron, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Aaron did exactly what Hashem commanded Moshe when it came to lighting the menorah. So Rabbi Zevlov says, did you think Aaron wasn't going to do what Moshe was commanded him to do? Was he like such a renegade? Was Aaron such a rebel? What's going on here? Why does the Torah make a point of telling you that Aaron did exactly what he was told to do? Lefisha zeh inyan gadol b'gadolim. Sheyodim la'asos cheshbonos. The greater a person is, the greater a testament it is to their godless when they don't make cheshbonos. Because the greater a person, yodim la'asos cheshbonos, they know how to make calculations against Hashem. Va'afo pikein lo shinu. Even so, they do not change. And Rashi tells you, I'll tell you Rabbi Zevlov, he says a beautiful verse. Vayas kein Aaron, lahagid shivcha shel Aaron shelo shina. To tell you the praise of Aaron, he didn't change. He did what he was supposed to do. Rav Moshe mentions this pasuk as well. It's from Baalos Chaperachas. So I heard Rabbi Zevlov say a beautiful chiddush. Shalosh shina. What's the word for sleep? Shena. So one way to give a drash on this rashi is lahagid shivcha shel Aaron, to tell you the praise of Aaron. Shalosh shina. he didn't go to sleep in the mitzvah. He's lighting the menorah every single evening in the Mishkan, the same way, the same Chatzilok Shemen, the same wicks, the same seven candles every single night. You could become bored of a mitzvah. Shaloshina is he wasn't sleeping. The mitzvah wasn't boring to him. Just as an aside, Rav Moshe Zatzal says that the godless is that Aaron didn't change from what he was supposed to do because the greater a person, the greater the risk of putting your own chachma against Hashem. And he says, look at Parshas Baloscha, Shenisba'er Sham Mashanemar Vayas Kein Aaron, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Hashavachaya, what was the praise of Aaron? Sha'afot Pisha Hayelo Cheshbon, even though he had his own cheshbon. She'eno Tzarich Lezeh. He could have had his own cheshbon, maybe we don't need this. He called Malcolm. What did I just hear? Something outside?
Yeah.
Oh. Mikol Malcolm Kaim HaMitzvah Beli Cheshbonos. Nevertheless, he fulfilled these mitzvahs without cheshbonos. And I think that there's such a beautiful Musar Haskel for here. You know, just recently I had two different situations. One situation, I was speaking to somebody about a certain matzav, and I said, I cannot answer, I have to ask a Rav. I cannot take a chayzlis, I can't answer, I have to ask a Rav. So I ran and asked Rabbi Shai Schechter. I spoke to him. And a few days later, he got back to me and he says, I discussed it with my father. So when I got back to the person, I said, this is coming from Rav Hershel Schechter. So I thought it was so beautiful. Here someone came to me. I'm clearly not a Rav. I went to my Rav. My Rav went to his father, but also his Rav. And last week at the same wedding that I just mentioned, after the chuppah, I went over to Rav Yaakov Ben Dor Shlita because I wanted to, my son's in his yeshiva, so I wanted to talk to him about something. So he has to leave. He said, I have to leave right away. Because he's in Aveus, he's in Shloshim for his brothers, Zatzal. So 2 days ago, I had to email him with a certain Shaila. And when he emailed back, the first thing he says is, firstly, a quick apology for not speaking to you, but I had to leave right away because of a psak that I got that I had to leave immediately after the chuppah. So I said to my husband, both of these cases teach you something so incredible. Both of these cases, these are rabbanim. Rabbi Shai Schechter could probably paskin on his own, and Rabbi Yaakov Ben Dor Shlita could for sure paskin on his own. So you're talking about people who are gedolim, but what do? They go to their own rabbanim to ask Ashraya. It's such a lesson. It's such a Musar Haskel. The greater you are, the more humility you have to know, I can't rely on my own cheshbon. As Rabbi Yaakov Ben Dor wrote in the email, I could read it to you, because of a psak that I got that I had to leave right away. That wasn't the point of the email. It wasn't the shayla that I asked him, which he answered secondly, but that's in and itself is such a lesson. Rabbi Yaakov Ben Dor is asking a shayla. Rabbi Yaakov Ben Dor could paskin for himself about what he's supposed to do when he's in aveyas for his brother, Zecho Tzadik Levracha, and he has to go to a chuppah. And perhaps Rabbi Shai Schechter felt he could also. I don't know or I don't know, but he went to his father, Rabbi Yaakov Ben Dor went and he got psak. So it teaches us such beautiful lessons in humility. The greater a person, the more you risk. I know, I think, I calculate, I do this. That's really what Moshe is saying in that piece. That was the whole sin of the Meragam, and that's such a danger to our Amunah. It's such a danger to Amunah, because if we think we know better, never mind in the Gedolim, if you think you know better, Chas V'Shalom, then the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is exactly what the spies thought. I know how my life should go. I know what the plan should be. I know how everything should be worked out. Clearly, Hashem has his own cheshbonos, and they don't often match up with my cheshbonos. Really interestingly, I came across this earlier this week, and it relates to this very same idea. Whoops, for Parshas Chukas. Okay? The same idea of having amunah when we do not understand Hashem's cheshbonos. That's really what we're talking about here. The spies did not understand Hashem's cheshbonos. Why are you telling us to go into Eretz Yisrael? It's going to be full of peranos. Then we're going to sin. You're not mevater. I'm saying everything what Moshe said. You're not mevater. Sins in Eretz Yisrael. Then there's going to be churban and we're going to be kicked out. God said, I didn't ask you for your opinion. I told you to go into the land. No one asked me for my opinion if I should drink arba kosos on Leil Seder. I'm not talking about your yotzei min haklal. You need to ask a shayla b'derekha. No one asked how many calories do you want from the grape juice or the red wine. I'm telling you to drink arba kosos. So don't tell me what God says. Don't tell me what I should be doing. Okay. I came across this insight based on a teaching of the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Asher Ber Soloveitchik of Brisk, Zatzal, the father of Rabbi Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Mekdoshim Levracha, on the Parah Aduma. This week's Parasha Chutzaretz is Chukas. Chukas begins in Perek Yutes with the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma is a totally red cow that if somebody comes in contact with a corpse, is under the roof when a person dies in the same tent. So they take a totally red cow that Allah Sherlo Allah Sherlo Allah Allah Mum, Aduma Tamima, she can't even have two black hairs. We burn entirely the cow. Her ashes are totally ground to ash, mixed with Mayim Chaim, and in a process of purification, sprinkled upon the impure person. It is a classic chok, because if you look through Perek Yates, everyone involved with the cow, and the ashes of the cow, and the slaughter of the cow, and the burning of the cow, they all become tamei. They begin tahor, pure, they end tamei, ritually impure. Except that the person who started off tamei, after he is sprinkled, he's going to be pure. He started off impure, he's going to end up pure, and the people who started off pure are going to end up impure. It's a chok. We do not understand the reason for this mitzvah. My daughter told me something so cute. She is one of the main moras. She's a main mora. There's a shav storage, apparently. So usually they take women who are a little bit older, women who are married, but my daughter just came back from seminary. She's a main mora in Simcha Day Camp of 5-year-olds. She says 25-year-olds. Came back from seminary 2-3 weeks ago. So she says, yesterday, 3 of the little boys come over to her. She was telling me this last night. They say, Mora, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? And she says, so she thinks to herself, what am I going to answer 3 5-year-olds? So she's told them the Beis HaMikdash will be built. There won't be any more fighting. It will be all peace. So one of the little boys said, and all the dead people will become undead. So she said, that's right. And then this little boy pipes up and he says, and a para aduma can't even have 2 black hairs. So my daughter said, that's right. He said, I learned that on a CD. So she said, very good. So today she said he was saying more. She said he knew so much about the parsha from Rabbi Jeruvel. Rabbi Jeruvel CDs. So I had the Rabbi Jeruvel books. Yeah, she said it was amazing. She said he did really well. He knew so much. But the paraduma is really a big chok. Now, Chazal tell us, okay, Rashi quotes it on the Parsha. Why a paraduma? Why a red cow? So the Medrash, Rashi is quoting Medrash Bamidbar Rabbah. The Medrash says it's a mashal. It's in Rashi in the Chumash. Rashi is quoting the Medrash. A Medrash says it's like a maidservant who took her son to work in the palace. This is a Medrash, Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Yates, Simen Ches. Mashal ben Shivcha, Shatinev Paltin Shamalach. An analogy to the son of a maidservant who soiled the palace of a king. So you have a maidservant, she works in the king's palace. She took her son to work, the babysitter didn't show up, and the child soils the king's palace. Amar Hamalach, so the king said, Tavo imo usekanech asatsoa. Let the mother come and clean up the excrement. So this child made a mess all over the king's palace. Who should clean up? The mother. Koch Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you do Chumash at Rashi, you'll see this Rashi when you're learning the Parsha. Koch Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tavo para usichaper al masa ha'igal. Let the cow come and let it be a kapar and a tomeh for chet ha'igal. So Chazal say, even though it is a chok that we do not understand the reason for, and there's much mystery about it, nevertheless, when it comes to the para aduma, it's a kapara, an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. So the calf is a baby cow, egel, it was a cow, a baby cow, I should say, a calf. So let the mother, the para, the mother come and clean up the mess. So she is a kapara. It's a mitzvah that does not make any sense. So you could see why. I knew, since we ended last class, I knew I was planning to finish those 2 paragraphs of Ramosha. By the way, there's like 4 more paragraphs. I didn't go through the rest. But I really felt that those 2 paragraphs are very important because what it teaches us is the smarter we are, the more knowledgeable we are. And I'm not saying we should shut down our yeshivos or our Beis Yaakovs or our seminaries or our Batei Medrash. Chas v'shalom, Baruch Hashem, we have such access to Torah education, but it comes along with a risk. I was just listening to Shir Rabbi Zevla from Pirkei Avos, Schar Mitzvah Keneged Hefseda. What does it mean, Schar Mitzvah Keneged Hefseda? There's a reward to mitzvah, there's a Hefsed mitzvah? Schar Vera Keneged Hefseda? So what do you talk about? He said every mitzvah has a schar, but also a Hefsed. Every Avera is a hefsed, but a schar. For example, the schar mitzvah could be someone's going to do a mace mitzvah, but they have to give up learning Torah. So in that case, the schar mitzvah is mace mitzvah, but the hefsed is you lost time for learning Torah. The schar aveira, the hefsed aveira is the punishment you're going to get for lashon hara, but the schar aveira is the feeling you feel when you say some juicy gossip about your friend. So he said, every mitzvah has a hefsed and a schar, a loss and a reward. And every aveira has a loss and a reward. Of course, we're so fortunate to be so educated. Baruch Hashem. I can't imagine living 300 years ago. I don't know, I'd be tending to the chickens and the salting board and working on the farm. I'm not saying derogatory, and heating the water on the stove. And we would just have a very, very different life. But we do have to be cognizant and aware that sometimes the more we know, the more dangerous is the maskilim, enlightened, seichel. What's the word for maskilim? It's from the word seichel. They were so knowledgeable that now we don't need God anymore. It's the enlightenment. The more we know, the less we need the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. That's the biggest danger to Amunah. So this piece of the Beis Halevi really relates very strongly to this idea of what Rav Moshe was speaking about with Chet Ega. The Beis Halevi speaks about the Paraduma and why is it an atonement for Ega HaZahav. In what fashion can we understand the atonement, the kapara of the red heifer, Paraduma, for Ega HaZahav, the sin of the golden calf? Okay. So the Beis Halevi says, I'm skipping because I won't have time for the whole thing. Even though I wanted to do the whole thing. I'm skipping the beginning, okay? The Israelites' involvement, there's a bunch of comments, 1 second. Okay, I was going to see if there were any specific questions I need to address. The involvement of the Bnei Yisrael and Chet Ha'egel began innocuously, without any sinful intention. However, they made one fundamental mistake, and you're going to see. The Beis Halevi explains the mistake of Chet Ha'egel the way Rav Moshe explains the Chet of Meraglim. They made a cheshbon. Moshe disappeared. Vayarim ki boshesh Moshe, parashas ki tisa, perek lamed beis, loradis minahar, vayikalua amal ar, vayomu kum aseilanu alim asher yechu lefaneinu. We have a cheshbon. Moshe said he's coming back, but he's not coming back. We calculated. We have a time frame. We have a calendar. We have a calendar app. Where's Moshe? In short, the Israelites' involvement in this affair began innocently, innocuously, without any sinful intention. However, they made one fundamental mistake. While human deeds, our actions, and man-made objects can wield great power and affect change on many levels, it's only when the action or project is carried out in the observance of a God-given mitzvah. So when it is a God-given mitzvah, that object or action has great power. Think of the Mishkan. There was great power. They were objects. There was objects in the Mishkan, but it was commanded by God. In that case, the merit of obeying God's word, when you obey his word, and implement his will, when you obey the word of Hashem, and you do the ratzon of Hashem, it infuses that object with spiritual powers. That's because you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Without the mitzvah element, even the most sublime meditations cannot make anything more than an earthly human undertaking. Without a mitzvah, it remains base gashmias, unless God commands it. It has no power, spiritual power, unless it's what Hashem wants me to do. Not only does it fail to activate forces of good, not only does that object fail to open up heavenly blessing, but it constitutes a sin. Why? Quote, what mortal being may be so presumptuous as to meddle with the dynamics of a world beyond his reach? That's what the Meraglim did. That's what they did by Chet Ha'egel. What mortal being may be so presumptuous as to meddle with the dynamics of a world beyond his reach? Who can induce God to do things he has not offered to do? It all stems from making their own cheshbonos. They made their own cheshbonos by Ega HaZahav also. What were their own cheshbonos? Moshe disappeared. We need a leader. We can't be on our own. We're panicking. They took their own jewelry. They didn't even bother asking the woman. Throw it in a fire. They made their own cheshbonos. What happened by Chet Meraglim? They made their own cheshbonos. By Chet Ha'egel, the Beis Halevi says, and others say as well, they didn't begin by looking to do Avodah Zarah. The problem is when you act according to what you think is correct, ultimately that person is going to become, to use a term that's used today, off the derech, and I mean it, pun intended, like literally, off the derech of Hashem. And because the Israelite plan was a sin, they set themselves up to stumble further into sin. When the form of a golden calf emerged from the fire. And now, from this approach, we can understand why they needed a paraduma specifically as a tikkun. It therefore is clear The perfect antidote for the misguided notion behind the golden calf notion, cheshbon, chachma. The ideal remedy for the mistake of crowning human reason as the highest virtue. We think Moshe disappeared. We think we need a replacement. Is the mitzvah of the red cow. Why?
Because it has no logic to it.
Exactly right. Exactly correct, Avigal. Because what's the perfect kapara, the perfect tikkun? The Egel Azav was made with their cheshbon. Nothing about the red heifer goes according to human cheshbonos. It doesn't make any sense. How could the same ashes mixed with water make the one who's doing the sprinkling ritually impure and make the one who's sprinkled upon ritually pure? It makes no sense. It's not arbitrary. It doesn't go according to human cheshbon or my Excel spreadsheet of how I think life should be. It's only what God wants. Beautiful, Avigal. That's exactly correct. Here is a mitzvah, meaning the para aduma, in which human reason, having no insight into the seemingly contradictory laws of the mitzvah, is given almost no role to play. In the mitzvah para aduma, human reason, rationality, calculation, and seichel. And it's totally not seicheldik. It's not a seicheldik mitzvah. Seicheldik is lo tinaf. I understand. Lo tirtzach. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people do not understand these mitzvahs, but they're seicheldik. They make sense. Kibbutz Avaim makes sense. Tzedakah makes sense. So you don't have people starving the street. These mitzvahs make sense. There's nothing about this mitzvah that makes any sense. Even Shanis makes sense if you know the Zohar about Cain and Hevel, because the first murder was about Shanis. So therefore that also makes sense. This mitzvah makes no sense. It's the same ashes, the same water. Is he impure or not pure? Which one? How could it reverse the order for two different people? It removes all human cheshbonos from the equation. It says we totally believe in God, even when we don't understand. They asked Professor Schechter, what do you say about you compared to the previous generations? He said, we certainly know more. But they certainly had far greater amunah. The smarter we are, the greater we risk lack of amunah, the yisod of which is man's cheshbonos. And that's why the maskilim, from the word seichel, they were so enlightened. They took korbanos out of the siddurim. They took mechitzas out of the synagogue. Someone came to the Rav and he asked him, the shul, where he is in whatever area for that Rosh Hashanah, the only shul had no mechitzah. So should he go to shul and hear shofar, or should he stay home? If Salvechev said he should stay home, you should not hear shofar, you should not go daven in that shul. What happens when we're so enlightened, maskilim, seicha, I'm so seicheldek, then God, Rechmal Tzan, goes out the window, chas v'sham. Here's a mitzvah in which human reason is given almost no role to play. By performing this mitzvah, parah adumah, and for us today, by contemplating it, learning about it, because we don't have shaychus to this mitzvah anymore, like that little boy said, the five-year-old, he said, when they were talking about Mashiach, so whatever he was learning from Rabbi Juraval, he said, Parah Aduma can't even have two black hairs. By even contemplating it, the thoughtful Jew will infer that he fails to understand this mitzvah. That's a conclusion you should reach when you learn through the Parakut test. I do not understand this mitzvah. And then you will come to realize that if you don't understand this mitzvah, you really don't understand anything about God's cheshbonos. For all the mitzvahs are one integrated system of divine thought. And if I don't understand divine thought, I don't understand divine thought. I forget which Hasidic Rebbe said, if I understood him, if I knew him, I would be him. Just as the 248 limbs and 365 sinews are connected and part of one body, so to the 248 mitzvos aseh, what we call positive mitzvos, and 365 lo ta'aseh, thou shalt not transgress, are part of a conceptual whole. A deficient understanding of one mitzvah really comes to teach us that we do not have an understanding of any of the other mitzvos either. And when we understand that we do not understand, it's such a struggle because there's so much in this world we mamish do not. And someone reached out to me today from a different community, a different state. And she said she follows me online, she listens to my shiurim, she reached out to me about my written Torah post. I don't know if any of you read it or don't read it. It always gives me chizek to know people read it because I work a long time. I know people listen to the audio, but I always like to hear that people take the time to actually read because I feel like today we don't have any time, so no one wants to read anymore. And I spend a long time in those. Anyway, someone reached out to me from, she's a rabbitson from a different state. She just reached out to me today. She said, I read that written Torah and she said, I was mamish moved to tears. But that's what she wrote. She said, it's such a chizek because in this world where we don't understand anything. We need to be reminded that God has a plan. This is why the Torah introduces this parasha, Parah Adumah, with the word Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the mystery of Torah. One might ask, true, there's a good reason to describe the red cow as a decree, a gezerah, implying the rationale is not evidence. But what makes it Zos Chukas, what does Zos Chukas HaTorah mean? This is the law of Torah. This is the essence of Torah. If you want to know what defines the entire Torah, it's Parah Adumah. If you ask me what defines the entire Torah, Ben Adam Mechaveru, you'd have to say, V'haf Torecha Kamocha. You want to know what defines all Torah, Ben Adam Makam, Anochi Hashem Elkecha. That's not me, that's the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says all Torah is divided into two foundations. One is V'haf Torecha Kamocha, Ben Adam Mechaveru. The other is Anochi Hashem Elkecha, Ben Adam Makam. What does it mean, Zos Chukas HaTorah? It doesn't say this is the Chok of Parah Adumah. This is the law of the entire Torah. What's coming to teach me? Implying it's a mitzvah whose rationale is not evident, whose importance must be accepted on faith, and the answer to the decree of Torah is the mitzvah is the defining mitzvah of Torah. For it teaches us that all of God's ways and all of God's mitzvahs ultimately are decrees because their true significance, the inner meaning of God's ways, the full extent of God's reach on physical, spiritual, and eternal worlds are largely hidden even from the most learned amongst us. Direct quote. That ties back to Rav Moshe. Who needs the mitzvah? Who needs this lesson more? The more educated we are, the more we need to be reminded. Zos Chukas HaTorah. The more educated they are. Because the less educated, they accept. I'm not saying I want to be in that category. I'm not saying it's a better time to go to. I'm not saying we're going to take a time machine after this year and go back to 1875. But lemaisa, we run a risk. And the risk is to make cheshbonos against God. 1 second, please. In this way, the red cow atones for the sin of the golden calf. Because what gave rise to the sin of the golden calf? They put man's intellectual power into place. They rose up against Zaron. They said this is what we should do. They decided this was a better course of action. The red cow, therefore, the Parah Adumah, protects us from the impulse to compensate for what we see the Torah lacks. The Parah Adumah reminds us not to invent new moral imperatives. It reminds us we do not need new standards of human virtue. If they were not handed down from the sages, if they were not given to us from the One Most High, then it is not in our lives. Everything we do should somehow fit into the framework of Torah. Like literally every single thing we do needs to fit into the framework of Torah. And if it doesn't fit, so I'm talking about the most mundane things. How you speak to your friend, how you take a drink, how you dress, how you, what you see, what you read, what you eat. Every single thing a Jew does has to fit into the framework of Torah. The smarter person is, the more we think, we run the risk of thinking, I know better than the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was the root of Chet HaMeragim, says Rav Moshe. It was yesod upon man's cheshbonos. It is the root, says the Beis Halevi, of Chet HaEgel. And that's why Parah Adumah, the red heifer, is the antidote and the kapara. Because it's the mitzvah that makes the absolute least sense. Even kashrus, which is a chok. Some people say kosher is healthier. It's healthier for their body not to eat those foods. So there could be some way to rationalize it. But when it comes to Parah Adumah, no human being can rationalize how the very same potion, if you will, the very same mixture makes one person tamei, one person tar. It's impossible to understand this. So this is the antidote to Chet HaEgel, because it shows you that man, when it comes to amunah, asiyas hamitzvos, adherence to Torah, and Amunas Chachamim. I just thought it was so amazing. It was a side point of both Shailas. Forget what the Shailas were. Rabbi Shai Shefter came back to me and said, I spoke about it with my father. So when I went back to that person, I said, this is coming from a Rabbi Shefter. It doesn't matter what the Shaila was, it's a point. And Rabbi Yaakov Bender said, first, an apology is in order. Really, of course, the Rosh Hashiva does not need to apologize. Before he even got to the Shaila, he said, I had to leave right away after the Chuppah because of a psak that I got. I thought those two things I discussed with my husband. I said, it's such a gevaldic lesson in what it means to be a gadol who understands that they are katan b'fnei gedolim shabbat. And that's how we have to be before the Ribbono Shel Olam. As gedolim as we think we are, which we're not. But as gedolim as we think we are, the reality is that we have to understand we are Ketanim. And not to be so smart, so full of chachma, so full of cheshbonos, so full of seichel, rachmana litzlan, that we risk losing our amuna, like Rav Moshe says, the yesod of which is man's calculations. We must accept, says Rav Moshe, that God has his calculations. It doesn't mean it's easy. Maybe it would have been very hard for the people to go into the Eretz Canaan right away. Maybe it was very hard to be without Moshe Rabbeinu for 6 hours. I don't know, I wasn't there. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it means I must be humble enough. As a gadol, I don't mean like the gadolim, I mean as someone intellectual, someone, we're smarter than they ever were. We have to know how to humble ourselves and know our place vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're right, Korach also made his own calculations. Yes?
So, I have Rabbi Silverstein as a teacher in high school.
I can hear.
Rabbi Shraka Silverstein was our teacher. And he would say at the end of every class, and what do we now know? We still know nothing.
That's right. As much as we now know, we still know nothing. So it's an important reminder. We know so much, Baruch Hashem. But we can't let all that we know affect us to the degree where we think we know too much and more than God. So we finished this piece of Qur'an. Baruch Hashem, we added much new material tonight and tied it into understanding of other sins in the Midbar. And ultimately, it's a strong Musar Haskel. And the Musar Haskel for us is to keep learning, to keep growing, to keep intellectually stimulating your mind, to keep understanding the very Torah. It's wonderful. But along the path of doing so, we must remember to remain ketanim because God has his cheshbonos. Unlike those 5-year-olds said to my daughter, Mora, what will be when Mashiach comes? Halavai, it should just be bimher, bimeinu, tishbi, barakush, yosu, vayos. And when all of our quandaries and unanswerable will finally become answered. Thank you so much. Yashir should be as chos, aliyah neshama, ramir, bas chayim, yitzhak, allaha, hashalom. Have a week of besoros tovas. We will continue next week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining in person and on Zoom. Kol tov and good Shabbos. Thank you.
Where's your daughter a counselor?